This morning we're starting a new sermon series. I've talked about it a little bit in past weeks. This is going to take us several weeks through the end of March. It's leading up to Easter. It's probably going to end up being about 9 sermons covering 11 weeks. So it's a series that's a little bit longer than the fall series that we did this year. But I still encourage you, if you're able, and I know I've heard a lot of talk in the last couple of weeks about new small groups starting or people wanting to join small groups. I encourage you to do that because that gives you another opportunity to discuss what you hear on Sundays, to study the scriptures together, to personalize it, and think through and share with others what the Lord may be speaking to you. In the area of understanding and application of the things that we are learning together about. Each week I'm going to have discussion questions. They should be on the back, even this week, of your in the bulletin of the sermon notes. Those you can use for personal reflection, or I write them to be used in small groups and incorporated in that way. So if you're planning to lead a small group, try and just make it easy for you. And have it right there for you. So, the sermon series is on the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew chapters 5-7. I thought about different passages, but I landed on this because it's really helped me personally in the past few years in my own spiritual growth, and helped me in areas that I think are common for a lot of people, common for a lot of Christians, common struggles. It really forces you to think, and it helps you to test and discern whether or not the Christian life that you're living is in alignment with the kind of life that Jesus is actually calling us to live. Because that's what the Sermon on the Mount is. It's a lifestyle of followers of Jesus. It's for disciples of Jesus to help them understand and come out of the darkness of bad theology and bad teaching and understand what it actually means to live in the kingdom of heaven and to live for Jesus Christ. And so as we read and study it, it tests us. It gives us a comparison to look at, does my life look like what Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount? And so it can be quite troubling and disruptive, but we need troubling and disruptive things in our lives because we're not approaching life coming from a place where we just had everything figured out and we're perfect. No, it was quite the opposite. Okay, we're on a journey and in progress of becoming more like Christ because we aren't yet. Okay, and so it's good to be disrupted at times. But it also, this Sermon on the Mount can bring a lot of clarity and hope and encouragement because it sets you on a path that you can know and be sure that God wants you on. So a lot of times people talk about the whole Bible being a, what do they call it? A roadmap or something like that, an instruction manual, there you go, for life. And that's a pretty big instruction manual. You can narrow it down and get a lot from 3 chapters that we're going to be looking at, the Sermon on the Mount. It's a path that leads to deeper life and abiding joy. And so that's what I'm calling the whole series, is discovering the path to deeper joy, or discovering the hidden life of joy. There you go. I'm making a few things up here. I'm not making them up, but I'm kind of going off my notes, and that's never really safe for me to do. So maybe I should just stick to my notes. Here we go. All right. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the introduction to this sermon. It's also known as the Beatitudes, and these are things that you've probably heard a bunch of sermons about, but it's really the introduction that sets the theme for the rest of the sermon. You're going to see how and why it does that today. Before we get into it, I want you to think about who you look up to in your life as the primary Christian influencers. So who are those people that you look up to and you learn from about what it means to live the Christian life? I think there's a number of different categories that we could look at here. I think more and more people are going to come to your mind as we just think about this for a minute. It could be people that you look up to in this church family. Some of you could look up to me as a pastor or the other pastors and elders or ministry leaders here at the church. It could simply be other Christians, brothers and sisters here that seem further along than you. I want you to think about who those people are. What do you admire about their faith? What do you admire about how they live their lives? The discussion questions are going to ask you to do the same thing this week, and it might take more reflecting than I'm giving you right now, but start thinking about it. It could also include people from your family, Christian family members. It could be Christian friends in the community. Who do you look up to in your family? Whose life is having an influence on how you live your life? Which friends of yours have a relationship with God that you aspire to and you want to be like? This also probably includes, highly likely in our world today, people that you watch and listen to online. So who are the people that you watch and listen to? Which reels are being fed to you and you're getting into their teaching? Who are you drawn to? What do you admire about them? What are you seeking to emulate in how you live your life? And then I also want to mention, just to get us thinking about the influencers in our lives, there are also people, I think, in society in general that we look up to. So it could be politicians or people in government. It could be athletes is a big one. Could be business owners that you look up to. What kinds of things are you learning from them? When you start to think about the influencers in your life and these different people, you see there are a lot of people who are probably making an impact on how you live your life and what you think it means to live as a Christian. We let a lot of people in. We let a lot of people influence us. Okay, the same thing was true for the people 2,000 years ago in Israel in the first century prior to the emergence of Jesus' teaching and ministry. So prior to Jesus coming on the scene, the people in Israel had similar kinds of influencers in their life. So there were people in their lives as well who were teaching them how to live in obedience to God, people they were looking up to. But at the top of the list of who people in that culture were looking up to were the religious leaders of Israel. They were seen as the experts and the people who knew what it meant to live according to God's will. And so that included, you'll often see scribes and Pharisees listed together. You'll see Sadducees in the Bible. There were also, we know, a group called the Essenes, as well as the Zealots. So there are a number of different groups that were having influence on the people. And among all of these groups, there were people called rabbis or teachers of the law, members of the Sanhedrin. And the people in the Jewish communities would look to them, their teachers and rabbis, for guidance. They would watch them to see how they lived their lives. They would see them in public and they'd listen to their teaching in the synagogues. They'd try to become like them, and they would pass along the things that they were learning from them to their children in their homes. And so these religious leaders were trusted, they were admired, looked up to, and they had a powerful influence on this whole society that Jesus was born into and now going to be teaching into. So they were the first century influencers, and they were much like the influencers that we look up to in our lives today. But the question I want for us to consider this morning, that the Beatitudes are going to kind of help us think through, is how accurate has their influence been? The influencers in your life, how accurate has that influence been? How close are they to teaching and emulating God's will and the kinds of life, the kind of lives He wants us to live? More personally, how accurately are you, having learned from the various influencers in your life, living according to the way of Christ and the will of God? When Jesus came on the scene, he was looked at as another rabbi. He wasn't the, I mean, there were many rabbis at the time. He's looked at as another rabbi, another teacher who was influencing the people. And as you read the New Testament, you see he was quickly gaining popularity. Wherever he went, most of his ministry in the early days started in Galilee. And wherever he went, he was drawing large crowds of people who wanted to hear him preach. So the thing they were wondering and they were excited about is, what kind of message is he going to preach? How close would his message be to the other rabbis in their time? How close would Jesus' message be to the influencers that you're letting into your life? We now know that Jesus was much more than just another rabbi. He was the very Son of God, and he alone had a perfect understanding of what it meant to live according to the will of God. And as we look at how he introduced this sermon in the Beatitudes, we're going to see right away if the things that we believe and live by are in line with him or not. I think it would have had the same effect on the people back then. And so I want you to ask yourself as we read through these Beatitudes, do these things, does this line up with the values that I'm seeing in the Christian influencers in my life, the things that I admire about them, does this line up with how I'm living as a Christian? So let's read these things. I want to read verses 1 through 12. We're going to go through 16, but let's read these Beatitudes first and ask ourselves those questions. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." When Jesus spoke these things to, it says his disciples were the ones who came up to listen to him, which I don't think was just the 12, but anybody, people interested in him, people following him, wondering what he was going to say. When he spoke these things, I wonder what was going through their minds. Because I think there would have been a lot of confusion and questioning when they heard what I just read. I don't think what Jesus said would have made sense to them. Again, you've maybe heard all kinds of sermons and you read through these Beatitudes. I want you to think a little bit deeper about the impact they would have had on that first crowd, because it needs to have the same impact on us this morning. The way he described the kind of people that would be blessed, or another word would be fortunate. Sometimes people use the word happy, okay? Fortunate. The way he described people that would be blessed or fortunate would not have lined up at all with the kind of people that they thought would be blessed and fortunate. Because they would have been thinking about the influencers in their life, which on the top of the list was the scribes and Pharisees. The religious influencers and the things that Jesus just said to them did not describe them at all. He described a completely different kind of person, not the ones that they would have assumed. And I believe that's the impression Jesus wanted to make. I think there was some shock value to these Beatitudes and the introduction to this sermon. He wanted to get their attention and begin to uproot their faulty way of thinking. and he wanted to confront a faulty worldview. He does the same thing as you read through the Sermon on the Mount. He just goes right into it in the verses that we'll get to next week. He's confronting a faulty religion and a faulty worldview throughout the whole sermon, confronting the way of life and the influence of the scribes and Pharisees by declaring that those who would be blessed would not be like them. They would be very different. One of the things that I did this week that I encourage you to do, I don't think I have that in the discussion questions, but I encourage you to read through Matthew 23. It's a chapter where Jesus confronts the scribes and Pharisees and where he warned the people who were listening to him to not be like them. As I was studying the Beatitudes, my study Bible pointed out that the characteristics that he spoke against in their lives in Matthew 23 have many parallels with the Beatitudes, only they were the sinful counterparts to the Beatitudes. And so as I look at what Jesus says in the Beatitudes and see the setting and the context in which he was saying these things, I can also see the sinful counterpart that I believe he was intentionally confronting by what he was saying. So let's walk through what he says. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who would have an attitude of lowliness and humility." That's poor in spirit. "Not people who exalt themselves and love to be honored at feasts and in the synagogues and marketplaces." So the not to or not like are all coming from Matthew 23. Second, he says, "Blessed are those who mourn," those who are struggling and they're broken because of sin and its influence in their lives and around them. "Not those who are self-righteous because of their lineage and their religious traditions and think they're already just fine." "Blessed are the meek," okay, those who are kind and gentle, not those who are arrogant and proud and think they're better than everyone else. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." These are people who care deeply about pleasing the Lord rather than being driven by the thirst for notoriety, success, and accomplishment. "Blessed are the merciful," those who demonstrate God's mercy to the sick, the poor, and the lost, not those who turn a cold shoulder and care more about keeping the law and appearances. "Blessed are the pure in heart, who are clean on the inside, not those who clean the outside of the cup, but on the inside are full of greed and self-indulgence. "Blessed are the peacemakers, who love their enemies and pray for those who persecute them," which we're going to get to later on in the Sermon on the Mount, "not those who hate their enemies and fight against them while pretending to be innocent. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, who do good and help others, even though it might go against certain customs and traditions, not those who neglect to do what's right because of pressure from others." And then finally, "Blessed are those who are reviled and persecuted and receive all kinds of insults for following Jesus, not those who reject him, kill him, and choose their old way of life instead." I think these Beatitudes would have been very surprising to that crowd and very disruptive. As Jesus' disciples, this is early on, and they've seen a lot of stuff. They'd heard his teaching. They're wondering, what's it going to be like to follow Jesus? And he starts this sermon with a message, an introduction that's completely different than the teaching they had been hearing from other rabbis, the lifestyles they've seen and admired in their other influencers in their lives. Those who would be blessed and who would receive all those amazing rewards that Jesus said and included in the Beatitudes were rewards of the kingdom of heaven, would not actually be like the people they were listening to. the people they had trusted and had been influencing their lives. So very disruptive. Jesus has shaken things up. And Jesus went on from there to continue to preach then about what life would be like for those who were truly part of the kingdom of heaven. And that's the Sermon on the Mount. They would be different than the people around them. That's what he says in the last few verses I want us to look at today. Again, verses that are so familiar, but you see it in the context and it's like, okay, now I see what he's talking about. 13 through 16, he says, after saying, blessed are these people, and they're like, what? You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Did he want them to blend in with everybody else and be like what the scribes and Pharisees were leading them to be like? No, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus was saying that his followers, whoever would choose to follow him, would become like salt. They'd be different in the society. There's all kinds of different characteristics of salt, but bottom line is salt influences stuff that it comes into contact with, and that's what he's getting at here. They'd become like salt. They'd become like light. You turn the light on in the darkness of that society, they'd become like light in the world that had been under that influence of the scribes and Pharisees. They would be different. They would stand out and they would show others what God's will actually was about how he wanted them to live their lives in the kingdom of heaven while still on this earth. And so, I mean, the message that was just on my heart all week as I was studying through these Beatitudes, after hearing these things, I think we need to ask ourselves, what do these Beatitudes tell us about our lives and the Christian influencers that we listen to? Because I don't know about you, but some of the attitudes and behaviors in my life and the attitudes and behaviors of some of the people I like to listen to don't match up that well with what we just read in the Beatitudes. Are you living the kind of life that Jesus says will be blessed? Are your influencers leading you that way, or do you see the same contradiction that as what they saw in Jesus' day? And so let me walk through it again now and ask you, are you poor in spirit? Or exalting yourself in order to be honored by others? Do you mourn over the sin that remains in your life? Or are you proud of how good you are? Are you meek and kind around other people? Or do you act like you're a little bit better? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness, or are you too caught up in pursuing success and accomplishment? Do you show mercy to those in need, or turn a blind eye to the lowly? Are you pure in heart, or are you living a double lifestyle? Are you seeking to make peace, or do you always have to win and be right? Do you do the right thing even if you suffer for it? Or do you care more about saving face and being comfortable? And are you willing to be ridiculed for being a Christian? Or do you hide your light under a bushel? A lot of soul-piercing questions here that deserve time for us to think about and reflect. You've got the discussion questions in the bulletin. You've got the Beatitudes in your Bible. I encourage you to spend time today or this week pondering these things, reflecting with fellow believers. We're going to take some time right now for worship, for reflection. I encourage you that if God is using these Beatitudes to show you some things about your life or maybe the people that you're listening to, that you listen to His voice and just obey what He leads you to do. And take time this week to reflect on these things. Let's pray.